Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see each of you in worship, as always. It's especially good to see all of our mothers here today. We want to extend a special welcome and thank you to all of our mothers of College Park Baptist Church. We thank you for being mothers to all the children here. If you're a guest with us this morning, or if you're a member with us, we invite you to take notice of the pew pads located at the end of your pew. We invite members and guests alike to take that out. Jot down your information. We just want to get a record of your attendance and say thank you for worshiping with us today. Also, once you've completed jotting down your information, pass those back to the center aisle, if you don't mind, so they can be conveniently picked up later on in the service. There are several announcements listed here in your bulletin. I will not mention all of those. I will highlight a few of those. Also, I invite the children to take note. There is children's time today. That is following our parent-child dedication, which is a little different than normal. So don't come down during the hymn. Wait, and Jeff will invite you down following the dedication prayer. Also, there is a Bible study here tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, if you would like to come. They meet down in the coffee room. If you don't know where that is, just show up, and we will help get you there. Also, take note, we are having a book drive currently right now. We're in need of new books for Old Town Elementary students to take home with them for the summer. We're collecting books through the month of May. And so if you can do that, we need more than 90 books. So hopefully we can accomplish that as a church. 90 new books to give to the children there at Old Town Elementary will be great. Also, I want you to take special notice. I know we say a lot of announcements up here, and a lot of times y'all don't listen. And I understand that's okay, because then you ask me later and you missed it. But I want you to pay attention here. College Parkers is this Thursday at 11:30. It's a covered dish meal. College Parkers is a gathering of our wiser folks within our congregation. So if you feel that you are wise, I don't care if you're this tall or my height or anywhere in between, I'm telling you this Thursday you want to be here for. There's a man coming by the name of Danny Krause. I don't know, some of y'all might know him. If you've never seen him before, maybe you've seen Elvis before. He is going to look a whole lot like Elvis this Thursday. Elvis is not going to be here. He would be upset if I made that statement, but he is going to be doing a tribute to Elvis, and he actually came a few months ago and just sang some gospel songs with us, and he was phenomenal. He sang a couple Elvis tunes, and he was like, you know, I do a little Elvis, and he really was so good, we invited him back. So you don't want to miss it this Thursday, 11:30. Bring a covered dish meal. As long as you consider yourself wise, come and go. I'm going to be there, so I know you fit the bill. It'll be a great time of fellowship together, as it always is at our College Parkers gathering. It's great to be in God's house this morning. Our ushers now are going to return down the aisle. If you are a guest with us for the first time, we just want to get a record of your attendance. We don't want to call out or embarrass you. We just want to give you a little more information about College Park Baptist Church and how we do things here. If you would just slip up your hand when they pass you by, they're going to give you a packet of information. Inside there is a letter from our pastor letting you know a little bit more about us and about him. Also, there is our church highlights, which is our monthly newsletter, which will let you know about all the other activities and ministries going on in the life of our church. It's a great day to be in God's house. Our sanctuary bells are going to come and prepare us for worship. Let us join our hearts together as they come and lead us. Thank you. Would you pray with me? God, we just thank you. We thank you for the gift of life which you gave us all. Father, we thank you for the ability we have to wake up every morning and just to serve you. But Father, especially today, we thank you for our mothers, the ladies who birthed us, Father, but also the ladies who have become like mothers in our lives within this church that help us grow into the people that you created us to be. So Father, today we especially say thank you for our mothers. Father, let us worship you today for the great gifts you've given us. In your name we ask. Amen.
This is the Sunday we used to call Baby Day, and Charles and I have resisted for 26 years that title, and it's good today because they're not both babies, and we can really say this is parent-child dedication, right? Two families come together today to celebrate with us. Celebration is a great word, because that is that as we look at Mother's Day and celebrate what mothers have meant to us in our lives, we look at these two young families, and we celebrate with them, not only because they have been blessed, but because we are blessed. Amen? We're blessed by having children in our midst. And so we come together today. The Allen family comes to celebrate the addition of Hannah, and the McCrary family comes with us today to celebrate their little boy, Larkin. And so I know that you will continue to pray for both of these families as well as all of our families. And I want us to begin our time together today with a couple of readings that we always read because we haven't found anything better, quite honestly. We think this really kind of brings us where we need to be in terms of our perspective. From Psalm 127, which is a great psalm. You may recognize it as the one that we used to read, the first part of this psalm, on the Sundays before we went to Mountain Outreach, because it talks about, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Well, the last part of this psalm reads, beginning in verse 3, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies at the gate. The idea is the blessing that children are to us. And Jesus reinforced that within His own interaction with people in Mark chapter 10. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have Him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, He was indignant. He was mad. He was angry. He was hurt. He said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And He took the children in His arms, He put His hands on them, and He blessed them. He blessed them. We should do the same. I invite you in your order of service, there is a covenant of dedication. Since we recognize that these parents will be raising their children in our midst, in community together, I think it's appropriate for us to covenant together with these parents. I will read a part, Mark leader, the parents, obviously their part, if you will read with us the part where it says people. We are here today to present these children to the church and to consecrate them to God. Who brings them for this holy purpose? We, the parents. What do we affirm about these children?
We affirm that each child is made in the image of God and is a child of God by creation, that each is loved, that each is child of God by creation, that each is loved and will be included in the experiences of this congregation, and that children are God's gift to us in whom we take pride.
As these infants grow into childhood, what will we tell them about their heritage? We will tell them about God who created the world, about Abraham and Sarah, the founders of our faith, about Moses who led our ancestors out of bondage, about Ruth's example of faithfulness, and about the prophets who spoke courageously for God against the superficial values of their day. We will tell them about Jesus the Christ, in whom salvation is offered, about the woman at the well who experienced God's healing grace, about the apostles who grew beyond comfort and familiarity as they sought to follow Jesus, and about worship and mission of the church. What will we hope for in these children? We look to the day when these children will gather with us at the Lord's table, when they will declare faith in Jesus the Christ, confirm the heritage which we will pass along, and come as adults to choose full commitment to God's will and work. Do you, as the parents of these children, assume your primary responsibility for keeping them in touch with such hopes and expectations? And do you, the congregation, pledge to work toward creating a nurturing Christian environment for all of our children?
Yes, we do. They belong to us.
Then may God be with us and help us. Amen. I want to present to you your certificate. We presented the Bibles in the early service, so we want to present certificate now. Hannah, do you want to hang on to this? That's for you. Something to remember. Put with your Bible and remember today, okay? Oh, you're welcome, honey. Big brother, you want to hold this? All right, I think Larkin's about all out of fun here. So we'll let you hang on to that. I invite you, if you have not met these beautiful children, find a time that's appropriate to bless the parents and to bless these children. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we do pray. We pray every day. We pray for life together, community together, what that means. We pray for our children. Father, they're in a world that can be very confusing, and they need us. They need all of us to help direct their path, to point them to you. We thank you for your word that guides us, that gives us the strength, that gives us your words to pass along to them until such time they're able to read it and absorb it and truly live it out in their own lives. Father, we pray for these parents. God, we pray a special blessing on them. God, they've been blessed by the gift of children. But Father, they're going to need that fresh blessing every day to deal with some of the issues they will have to face as they love their children and seek to guide them in the ways that you would have them to go. God, we thank you that we have a chance today to pause, to recognize the gift that you've given us through our children. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. You got something to do right now. While Jeff's going, we'll ask the children if they will. Come on down. He's preparing for you right now.
Oh, we'll wait. Come on. That's all right. We'll wait. It's good to see y'all this morning. There was a lot going on, isn't there? I know I'm tired. Okay. Hannah is heavy. All right. Now, everybody knows. Hey, Lachlan. There they are. Everybody knows what this is, right? What is this? A flower. That's right. We gave this to all the ladies in our church. Not all of them are moms. Some are moms. Some are grandmas. Some are prayer partners. Some are big sisters. We gave them to all the ladies in our church for a very important reason. What are things that moms do? What do they do really, really good? What do moms do? Cook. Oh, some moms do cook really, really good. That's right. What else do moms do? Take care of you. Yes, moms are great. The ladies are really good. God made ladies to take good care of us. Play outside. Moms like playing outside. What else do moms like to do? And what are they really good at? You know, the number one thing that moms and grandmas and aunts and all the ladies do? They love us. They love us. They will do anything in the world for you. All the ladies in your life, I want you to be thankful for. Because they are a gift from God. And a lady who fears the Lord or who looks after God and follows everything, they are to be praised. It comes right out of Scripture. So I want us to be thankful for all the ladies in our church, for the ways that you nurture us, you take care of your families, your neighbors, even strangers. If you are a lady in our congregation this day, we are thankful for you. This is a gift for you. If you did not get one, we want to make sure you get those as you leave here today. I want us to always be thankful for all the ladies in our life, especially for how much they show God's love to us. Can you show them God's love today? Give them a big hug and a big kiss. And whatever they put on your, you know, they don't need to be cooking today, right? Right. They don't need to be cooking today. But tomorrow when they cook something for you, say thank you. All right? Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for all the ladies that you have blessed us with. Incredible moms, loving grandmothers, great ladies, sisters and aunts and prayer partners and Sunday school teachers, mission leaders, just amazing ladies. they show us you. May we honor them and may we praise them this and every day. Thank you that you gave them as a gift to us. Help us to never take them for granted. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Go back to your seats now. Good job. Will you pray with me? Our Father, if we were to be honest, today is a mixed day of emotions as we pause to consider and be thankful for our mothers. For so many have sacrificed for so long. So many moms continually show your love to their children and to our communities. We thank you for the ladies who, when given the gift of motherhood, took it and honored you through it. And Father, we are so thankful for so many ladies in our congregation and in our community who honor you with all that they are. Father, on this day, we know also that it is difficult on this day. And for those, we pause to ask a special blessing. For those that find this day difficult and hard, we know that your loving embrace surrounds them. And that in difficult days, our congregation can love and care and support. So, Father, no matter how we come to your throne of grace on this Mother's Day, we come needing you, thanking you for the blessings that are in our lives, asking for strength for the struggles in our lives. You are the God who understands all of these pains and these struggles. And you are the one who gives us life. And so we come into your house needing a word from you, needing love and support and encouragement that only you can provide. May this Mother's Day be a reflection of you and how we care for those in our world, whether part of our immediate family or part of our community of faith or our community in need. Wherever we are, meet us there, we pray. And may we see your love and your grace through it all. For this is the message the world needs. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Sometimes in our deacons' meetings, we're asked and suggested that we talk to you all in this moment that we captured you, since we've got a captured audience, to say something about somewhere that's important to us. And so I struggle. Do I talk about things that the deacons need us to hear? Do I mention things to you from the finance committee about being responsive to the things financial, especially as we're working to retire the debt on the building? Or from the enlistment committee that will begin next week and places of service? Or do I remind us of things with discipleship that we have a part of us that we need to be a part of? Yes, they're all there. Yes, they're all places. And this past Wednesday, Raymond shared a message with us that was both piercing of my heart and touching of my soul, and I wish that you all would have heard. And the calling is there to remind us, what places of service might we be? Go read Romans 12 and pay attention to it. And be aware of the places of service wherein you may say your thanksgivings to God. For this is a prayer of thanksgiving in a time for offering thanks. And there are places in which we can all serve, whether it's through discipleship or whether it's through some other place in enlistment or whether it's through our finances or any of the myriad of different ministries that our church is a part of. So may God ask us and lead us, and may our hearts be pierced and our souls stirred, that we might respond in gratitude for all God has done. Would you join me as we pray? Holy God, we have to begin first by acknowledging your presence and being aware that you are here and that you kept your promise through the voice of Jesus, who said to us, where two or three were gathered, you would be there also. We know you've been here, for we've seen you all morning, and we continue to hear and see you. Thank you for the opportunity that you've allowed us to come into your place, into your presence, to worship you, and to offer to you our gifts, words, songs, bells, prayers, finances. Father God, we thank you for all that you've done, for all the many ways you touch us, whether physically or financially or spiritually, emotionally. We thank you for all the grandeurs of the gifts that have come our ways. We thank you for the motherly way in which you are a part of our world and a part of our lives. Now help us, God. Help us to respond with gratitude to the things you've done. Help us to find ways to give thanks to you, whether through the gifts of finances, or whether by our attitudes, or maybe by our places of service. Lead us, O God, that we can offer words of thanksgiving and graciousness to you and acts of gratitude to you in different ways. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
It was that dreaded time of the school day when you have to do math problems. Sorry, Becky, and to all math teachers. Yeah, I apologize. Math problems. And Mitchell dreaded math problems in his classroom, and especially those cursed word problems. Just deciphering, give me numbers, teacher. Don't make me think through all of this. And the question went like this, and the teacher said, Mitchell, stand up. Here's your question. So he stood up obediently, and she said, you have a pie, an apple pie that your mother has baked for your family. Now, Mitchell, you know that there are seven of you in your family. There are your two parents, and then there are you and your four brothers and sisters. So including yourself, that's five children, two parents, that is seven total. What is the fraction that designates what portion of that pie that you will receive? And he said quite confidently, 1/6. And she said, no, now Mitchell, you're not counting yourself, because you need to remember that you have five of you siblings, the children, and then two parents, that's a total of seven. So think again, what is the fraction that would appropriately designate how much of the pie? And he said, 1/6. And she says, you may wonder, he said, no ma'am, you don't know my mother. She would refuse to take a slice so that we could all have more. I don't know if you had a mother like Mitchell did, but I do. I sure do. And I know that there are some of you here this morning who, during the course of this last calendar year, have lost your mother. Well, you haven't lost her. You know exactly where she is, but she's not with you right now here. And so, there's, as Jeff has already alluded to, there's a mixed bag of emotions that comes with Mother's Day. And then there are some this morning who probably did not have mothers like I did or like Mitchell did. You did not have mothers that exhibited that kind of generosity. But no matter what your experience is with your biological or adopted mother, God's Word has something important to say about how we are to be in relationship with our parents. One such statement comes from Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, verse 12, says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. This is one of those that we call the Ten Commandments, not 10 suggestions, but 10 commandments. And Moses received this commandment from God. So what does it mean to us? What does it mean to honor your father and your mother? In Hebrew, the word that we translate honor literally means to make heavy. Does that make sense? To make heavy. Let me rephrase that. In other words, don't take your parents too lightly. Okay, that's Raymond's translation, but go with it. What does that mean? That means to actively give them respect and reverence. Now, this commandment is tough to chew on for at least a couple of reasons. The first is what I've already said, is perhaps you don't feel like your mom or dad deserve that kind of respect. Okay? And we'll get to that in just a minute. But that may be one reason. The other reason may be is because sociologists say that we are living right now in what they call the age of disrespect. Does that make sense? Yeah. The age of disrespect. And they identify some key markers in that and how we got to here. But without giving you all of that background, let me just say, watch TV or listen to radio or watch a movie. In our world now, if you'll watch closely, what most often is glorified and respected is youth. Okay? Many times the teenager or the child or something like that somehow is revered and brought to the point where they're the heroes. Now, I get it. Our kids are our heroes. I get it. But in this connotation, they are the ones that are respected and the heroes, and the parents and or those, as Matt said, those who were more wise, are depicted somehow as clueless or buffoons, especially if they're the dad, which we earn that that label sometimes of being the buffoon. But you understand what I'm saying. So in if you have this kind of prevailing undercurrent where youth is glamorized and glorified, and you don't really have time for people who are aging because you don't have a good time with them, or fill in the blank. So we live in that kind of world. So it makes this commandment to honor your father and your mother sometimes awkward to talk about. But it shouldn't be. This is one of the commandments that God gave us. And again, not a suggestion, but a commandment. And understand, this one has terrible consequences for individuals, for families, and nations if we ignore it. And you say, well, why should we insist on respect? Well, just the practical is the honor you give is the honor you receive many times. I love the story I read this week about a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old little girl. They were sisters, and they were so proud of the fact that they presented their mother on Mother's Day this pretty little potted plant. And they so proudly told their mom, "We paid for that with our own money." And the mother is, "Oh, sweethearts, that is the most beautiful plant that I believe I've ever seen." And then the 6-year-old couldn't leave that alone. Okay, so the 6-year-old, being spokesperson for her and her sister, said, "Yeah, it's pretty, but we couldn't get the flowers we really wanted." And her mother said, "Oh, well, that's okay, baby." She said, "No, Mama, there was this bouquet of flowers there that we really wanted to give you. And it was so pretty, but it was too expensive. And it had this beautiful ribbon on it that said, 'Rest in peace.' And we thought that would just be so perfect for you, since you're always asking for a little peace so you can rest." And the mother just smiled and hugged her girls and said, "Baby, this is perfect. This is perfect." Well, the whole comment about the rest matches up with what I experienced this week. When I was driving around, I don't know where I was going, which is my world a lot of days. but it was either on K-Love or WBFJ. I go back and forth depending on who's chatty. I go to the other one, okay? But on this particular morning, they had a lady who had called in. And they said, "If our children only knew that what we really want on Mother's Day is just some peace and quiet, some me time. That's what we really want." And then it was reinforced. Other moms, you know, started to call into the station. "Oh, yeah, yeah, you know." And mom after mom after mom was like, "We're just so tired." And this one who had initially called had like 3 children under the age of 5 or something like that. And it's like, "Well, babe, you do need some peace and rest, you know?" And why would they say something like that? Well, let me give you a couple statistics that'll blow you away. First of all, maybe it's because by the time a child reaches 18, this is just an average child, okay? An average needy child. By the time they reach age 18, a mother has had to handle some extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work. Moms, you know what I'm talking about? Child-generated work. 18,000 extra hours. In fact, women who have never had children or had to care for children, if they choose to, can enjoy the equivalent of an extra 3 months a year in discretionary time. That's what it adds up to. So if you want to know why moms are always exhausted, that might be a little clue. But those of you who are moms, you know that. Those of you who are grandmothers, maybe you're reliving that with your grandchildren. You see, there are so many qualities of moms that I could spend time on today. But it would be a very long sermon. And my wife won't let me do that. And so I'm going to pick one. And it's this one. Perseverance. Perseverance. You think about those hours. Dedication. And I went back and I chose my text. It's 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we find a remarkable example of that kind of perseverance. In verse 5, we are told that the man Elkanah had given a very special portion of the sacrifice to Hannah. And he loved her very much, even though Scripture tells us she was barren. In verse 9, we see that Hannah was a woman of personal devotion to God. Because after the meal, she went up to the tabernacle to pray earnestly to the Lord. In verse 10, we see that she was in deep anguish, crying bitterly even as she prayed. And understand, people, when we are that honest with God in our prayer, when we're that honest with God, I believe it touches God's heart. Because He so wants to bless us. But that may not be giving us what we say we want. It may be giving us something that we need even more than what we want. But it touches His heart when we're that honest with Him. He takes notice of that. Why? Because He knows our hearts. And He wants to bless us. And in the intensity of her prayer, right in the middle of this prayer, Hannah made this vow in verse 11. She said, "Lord, if you will look down on my sorrow, if you will answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire life. And as a sign of his devotion and dedication to you, I'll make sure that he doesn't cut his hair. So symbolically, people will know that he's yours." Verse 19 reports that after this prayer, after this time of pouring her heart out to God, when she went back home, Hannah was able to become pregnant, and five months later gave birth to a little boy, and they named him Samuel. Our God is a God who answers prayer. But hear this, not so we can have what we want, but so he will be glorified through us. It's no accident that the name of Hannah's son, he was given the name Samuel, literally means heard by God. See, God heard Hannah's prayer, and he blessed her. She was perseverant. She prayed earnestly, constantly. Within the character of a godly mom, you will find that kind of perseverance of spirit. It may be one of the strongest forces on earth. You see, when external circumstances looked impossible, Hannah sought God. She got a hold of God. She was answered by God. She was touched. She was blessed by God. She persevered and she asked God, she implored God to turn the impossible into the possible, and God honored her request and her perseverance. And she conceived. Go back and read the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel 2. Go back and read what this perseverance led to in the life of Samuel. You see, the bond between a mother and her infant child is so powerful. And so Hannah nursed Samuel until he was weaned. And then she kept her promise. She fulfilled her vow, and she gave him to the service of the Lord for the rest of his life, and a remarkable life it was. Within the character of a godly mom, you will find a great capacity for physical and spiritual nurture, and she perseveres in those tasks beyond almost anything this world can throw at her. If a godly mom raised you, you are indeed blessed. Amen? You have no idea how much she nurtured you. You may have some idea if you're a parent, but you don't know what she went through. You have no idea how much she sacrificed for you. You have no idea how much she spent, how much time she spent on her knees before God, intercessory prayer, praying for you. A praying mom is a powerful force indeed. Now, that being said, what about those of you that say, okay, Raymond, that's swell, but my mom wasn't like that? Well, let's go back to our first passage. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Again, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. See, this is the only command that was given to Moses by God that has a promise attached to it. And what does that mean? It means that it is so important to God that we honor our parents, whether or not they're deserving of it or not, that he attached an outcome, that he attached a natural result to that lifestyle. You see, God knows. He knows that we did not get to choose our parents. He understands that. But he also understands that we do have a choice as whether or not we are going to honor him by honoring them. You see, it's not whether we think that they deserve honor that's important. It's about whether we are going to honor him by being obedient. Follow with me here. If we feel like that our parents are not worthy of honor, so we don't honor them, what does that teach our children? It teaches them that God's commands may or may not be applicable to us. Or it may teach them, it's relative. Sometimes it may work, sometimes it may not. Consider the other choice. Suppose we honor our parents whether they are particularly deserving or not. What does that teach our children? That we will honor God by being obedient and then trust the outcomes and the judgment to him. What better way to break a cycle of disobedience that may be a part of your family? Honor your father and your mother because God has asked you to. Because he knows that's what you need to do. You see, and in that way, our legacy, our good word, if you will live on in our children and their children. And in that way, not only will our physical days, quote, be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you, but our spiritual legacy will live through our lineage, honoring God by honoring his word, no matter whether we feel like others are deserving of our grace. Does that make sense? I think it's a message for our world. I really do. We've got to learn to be long-sighted. And that flies in the face of everything in our culture right now that says, give it to me now. We've got to learn to be long-sighted. And that starts with our families, even though some of them may be crazy. We've all got them. You can laugh. It's okay. We've all got them in our family tree. It's all right. So this Mother's Day, let's resolve together to celebrate the godly qualities that we may see in our mothers, but also be resolved to honor them whether we see those qualities or not. And in that way, we demonstrate the nature of our faith in a God who loves us so deeply and desires for us to love, even as and because he has loved us first. Amen? Amen. Let's pray and ask for his help. Gracious Father, we know that loving unlovable people is difficult. We understand that. We get that. But Father, we pray today that we would resolve to keep your commands, because we know that that's what's best for us, and that's what's best for our families, that's what's best for this world, that's what's best for our church. Father, we know it's what's best. And so help us to understand, to be long-sighted, to look at the big picture, to understand kingdom things. Father, to bless others, whether they seem deserving or not, but certainly to bless those who have been so gracious, who have given so much for us. We thank you for our moms. We pray that we would honor them, whether they're with us here now or not, that we would honor them with our lives, even as we honor you and bless you with our faithfulness and our obedience. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you do not have a personal relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died for you, I invite you. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I'd be glad to share with you how you can have that personal relationship with Christ. If you're here and you say, well, I do have that relationship, but I need to work on that obedience thing that you're talking about, well, welcome to the club. We all work on it every day. But if you need to work out some things, need to confess some things, spend time during this last hymn as you're singing. Talk with God. Work that out. If you'd like to come to the altar, certainly you can come here and pray. Whatever your desire is to get back on track with who God wants you to be, I invite you to do that during this time. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of this church, a lot of ways we receive members. Be glad to talk with you about that as well. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing now. Moment, we'll have our benediction. Following a benediction in the choral response, we'll have a time where you can greet one another. We do have family and friends that are in for Mother's Day. Be sure and greet one another. Get to know, introduce yourself to one another, and speak a word of encouragement as we go from this place. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for wonderful memories. Father, we thank you for the blessing of what it means to live in community with all the ladies who bless us. Father, with their love, their encouragement, their prayers. Father, we pray that as we go through the rest of this day and into this week, we would be ever mindful of how truly we have been blessed. And in turn, we will look to turn that to others, to bless others, so that you in turn will be blessed by our faithfulness and our obedience. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.